Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Now I'm on to my third business. So it's just kind of, ever since I got inspired by property, I guess I've kind of stayed there and tried to learn more about it through different aspects.
This is Property Investory, where we talk to successful property investors to find out more about their stories, mindset, and strategies. I'm Tyrone Shump, and in this episode, we chat with Stephanie Brennan, founder of Everest, which aims to share information freely to both long-time and aspiring property investors. Continue listening to find out the beginnings of Brennan's property journey, the bumps she's managed to overcome along the way, and how she's grown her portfolio very efficiently. Brennan is not only successful with her own property portfolio, but also aims to help fellow property investors grow their wealth with her free business resources.
I'm Stephanie Brennan, and I'm the founder of Evervest, which is a free resource for investors and aspiring investors. So basically, we provide the tools, knowledge, and resources to people that want to start investing and scale their wealth.
She likes to start her days bright and early and work according to a well-planned schedule.
So I start bright and early at about 5 o'clock, and then I get to the gym and I do a lot of research when I get into work at about sort of 7. And that's sort of research on different property markets, shares, cryptocurrency, and then also researching how to implement the long-term vision of the company as well. So on occasion, I get to speak with awesome people like yourself and then do a couple of meetings here and there as well.
Not only does Brennan gain her property knowledge from researching on the web, she also has her mother to bounce ideas off.
There's so much information out there, and I think it's fantastic what Google has done for the world. On a side note, but I guess for me, trying to see all of that information is looking at different reoccurring themes, and I get to bounce ideas off my mum, who has life experience, a lot more life experience than I do. So that sort of helps me to understand where the markets are at now and where they've been. And then also, I guess, the practical experience of being able to invest in different countries and different asset classes that helps you kind of understand what all of that theory means and how it works in practice.
From a young age, Brennan realised the value of a stable family home.
So I grew up in Belrose on the, I guess, the cusp of the North Shore and the Northern Beaches. Before that, we lived in Terry Hills. And I think we moved to Belrose the day before my 4th birthday. So we've been here for, I guess, ages, and I've gone back and forth from living overseas and living in my own places to renting to moving back. And yeah, so it's been I guess, good to have that stability of a family home.
After finishing high school, Brennan decided to balance both work and university before getting inspired to commit to her work and drop out of her degree.
So I started at Mimosa Public School, which was just in Belrose. And then at the end of year two, my sister and I both moved to PLC over in Pimble, and we were there for the rest of our education.
So after school, where did you go in the end? Did you go straight into university, or did you go straight into the workforce?
I'd been working since I was at school, and I started my first job at about sort of 15, and before that I did a whole heap of odd jobs. But once I sort of finished school, I wanted to go to university, and I did sort of, I guess, part-time university and part-time work, and then it sort of got to a point where I was more inspired by working and less, I guess, inspired by going to university. So I ended up sort of working more and more and I guess studying less and less. And then eventually I just sort of dropped out of university, and I've gone back a couple of times to learn different things, and then put my studies on hold. And I have finished some things, but I guess I really didn't know what I wanted to do when I first started. So it was kind of a process of elimination of, well, let's just try everything and then hopefully there'll be something that kind of sticks that I really love, and that happened to be property.
Having freshly graduated from high school, Brennan had no solid areas of interest and thus jumped around degrees pretty frequently.
So I started down at ICMS in Manly with a Bachelor of Business, majoring in event management. And then I was tossing up originally between that and studying law, because my grandfather was a lawyer. So I guess I kind of wanted to follow a bit more in his footsteps. And so I was tossing up between both of them. And there was a subject that I did while doing the event management that was on contracts. And so I just loved it. And so then I moved to Sydney Uni to sort of learn more and dip my sort of toe into the law, and then moved across to Macquarie University to study law and psychology, which I later changed to law and commerce.
Since falling in love with property, Brennan has put her university career on hold and is mainly focused on a property journey.
I think learning and education is so important, but there's so much now that you can learn through Google and different resources and, I guess, mentors and people that have been, I guess, where you want to go. So to me, at this stage, that's probably more valuable to me than a uni degree.
She was first inspired to work in property and start her own business when she met a property investor at one of her old jobs.
So I started in a retirement village, and I started with sort of the kitchen hand side of things and worked up into the office. And from there, I went into engineering with Voith Paper Australia, and that was looking at the different paper mills and managing sort of the accounts. And then I sort of went into politics with Bronwyn Bishop, and that was just filling in while someone was away. And that sort of, I guess, inspired me to sort of want to be able to have my own business, which I'd always wanted to have from a young age, but I guess I didn't have the confidence until that role, because that role was really speaking to the citizens and the constituents and understanding their problems and then solving them. So I guess that then led to the confidence to be able to start my own business, which I then started in, I think it was 2011 when I was 21. And then after then, I had a client that was in property investments, and that inspired me into property. And then I moved to being a property manager so I could understand how it all works. And then I went into my second business, and then now I'm onto my third business. So it's just kind of ever since I got inspired by property, I guess I've kind of stayed there and tried to learn more about it through different aspects.
Meeting the property investor was a huge eye-opener for Brennan, who at the time had not considered property as an investment vehicle at all.
I was not really inspired to buy property as an investment until I worked with the property investor that I mentioned before. So my parents were very much into shares, and they obviously owned their own home and things like that. So for me growing up, it was definitely important to have a home that I owned. And so that was kind of my only focus, really, until I sort of saw all the numbers and what property could do. And then that's sort of when I made the jump from shares to property. But before then, I was very much focused on shares.
Brennan had never been exposed to property investment because her parents were big into shares.
I think it was partly that, but also because my parents had shares. So I had sort of dipped my toe in with just really small amounts of money because I didn't have that much to sort of spare. And then I had this goal originally to put, I think it was $10,000 into a share portfolio for my 21st birthday. And instead I bought a car, so which wasn't the best decision. but I wanted to buy a nicer car. And then I realized that once I was working in property that I just, it wasn't worth having the nice car. I wanted to then sell that so I could actually get into property.
She realized she could use her savings to invest into property and grow her wealth rapidly.
The client that I had was a property investor himself. So he had, I think, 41 or 42 properties that he owned, and then he wanted to help other people. So part of what my job was to put together all of the, I guess, the website and set up the company and then put together the sales packages. So through all of that, I learned so much about the numbers. And when I was seeing the numbers, I was like, wow, you can grow your wealth really quickly. So not just your, I guess, gross position on paper, but also your net position if you structure things correctly. So that was sort of what made me go, this is really where I want to put my money. And I'd been constantly saving and saving and saving. And then I sort of got to the point where I didn't need the nice car. I didn't need, you know, certain things that I'd bought over the years or gifts that my parents had given me when I was younger. So I literally sold pretty much everything that I owned. And I had a small inheritance as well that I later donated to conserve a nature reserve. But that was sort of how I got, I guess, inspired to keep saving and investing that money into property.
Coming up after the break, we'll delve deeper into Stephanie Brennan's property investment journey as she shares how she bought her first investment property.
So the first property I bought, I saved just over $100,000 or about $100,000. And that was from years and years of savings.
Her worst investing moment on her property journey thus far?
Oh, it was such a stressful time, and then thinking like, oh my gosh, am I going to default on my first mortgage payment with this new bank? That's not going to be good.
How she invests in property in the most efficient way possible?
I guess the best thing that I learned was actually about what they call porting securities.
And that's next. I'm Tyron Shum, and you're listening to Property Investory. Are you looking at buying or investing in property? Don't panic. Property is still a great investment. Is it now the time to buy, sell or hold? Find out from Australia's leading industry experts on how to take advantage of today's market. You'll learn the secrets to renovating for profit or gain the knowledge, skills and motivation to invest at the First Home Buyers Masterclass. Plus, much, much more. Whether you're a new or experienced investor, you can't miss the Sydney Property Buy Expo on the 7th, 8th and 9th of September. Use the promo code PI for a 3-day free pass valued at $50. For tickets and more information, visit propertybuyexpo.com.au. Brennan ended up purchasing her first property at 22 with the help of her mother and continued to buy properties consistently after.
So I was 21.
Wow.
And then I bought my first place at 22.
So in a short span of 12 months, you took a massive lot of action to be able to achieve that. How much did you save up for that first property that you bought?
So the first property I bought, I saved just over $100,000 or about $100,000. And that was from years and years of saving. So it wasn't just that 1 year. It was just that 1 year that I made the decision that I wanted to, I guess, increase my amount of savings so that I could get to that deposit amount of $100,000. And then my mum actually said, you know, once you've saved the deposit, she was happy to guarantee the property because then I guess it mitigated her risk that I had the money to put back into the property if I needed to so that the guarantee on the property could be released. So that's sort of how it all worked. But I ended up putting that money into my second property. And that's sort of, I guess, how I rolled from one property to another. And then I learned about equity releases and then that obviously helped me to grow the portfolio faster while the property market was rising. So it was just good timing.
Brennan's first property was an interesting birthday gift.
I was in property management in the local area down at Seaforth, and that's, for anyone that doesn't know where that is, that's the Northern Beaches, so sort of near Balgala and Manly. So I was in the local area and I was going to different houses all the time for routine inspections, and I started to understand sort of the price of rents in the area and then also the price of properties to buy in the area. So I was sort of, I guess, looking around that area anyway because it was familiar to me at that time. And so there was a couple of different places that I lost out on, one in Collaroy, which was a lot cheaper that I thought I could pay down faster, but it was a studio and then there's restrictions on sort of buying a studio. And then there was a really nice place that I liked in DY. It was run down, but it had sort of a nice, it was in a nice street and all of those sorts of things. but I lost out on that one. And then I got to the day of my 22nd birthday and I was like, I really, really want to achieve this goal of buying my first place, because my sister had already done it at 19. So in my head, I was already well behind the eight ball.
Bit of competition then.
Bit of competition. So for me, I was like, I really, really, really just want to buy this property. So I ended up going out. It happened to be a Saturday on my birthday, and I ended up going to a couple of different inspections. But actually the first one I walked into, I was like, this place is amazing. I love it. And it was down in Manly Vale, and it had this beautiful big balcony. It was 18 square metres, split level apartments. So it had a bit of a New York style lofty sort of feel. And I just put in an offer. The owners accepted it, and I negotiated on it, of course.
Yep.
But they accepted it, and I signed the contract that day, and I moved in, I think it was 6 weeks later, on the 16th of November.
After buying her first property, Brendan fell further in love with property investment to create wealth.
So it was 2012 when I bought my first one, and then I loved the feeling of buying property. I don't know what it was about it so much that I loved, but also I think seeing your, I guess, gross wealth grow so quickly, because you've gone from sort of, I guess, having in my head, I had my 100,000 that I'd saved, and then all of a sudden, you know, my assets were worth the property was 388,000. So you sort of increase your wealth quickly in your own head. And then I sort of got so inspired and I guess excited and addicted to wanting to be able to grow it even further that then I thought, well, I want to buy an investment property and I've got this money sitting here. So I think it was 2013 in, I think, March from memory, was when I bought my next property, and that was in Collaroy. And I couldn't believe the price I paid for it. It was so astronomically cheap compared to what Collaroy prices are now. I think I paid $346,000. So it was even cheap sort of at the time. But so I picked up that property and just still was, I guess, addicted to the feeling of wanting to buy more property. So I did. And that was kind of it.
Her worst investing moment is still vivid in her memory, as despite the mistake not being made by herself, she still felt the stress of its responsibility.
The one thing that always sticks out to me as sort of the worst moment was actually when I did my first refinance, and I was buying my fourth property at the same time and doing my first equity release. And so what happened was the property... for anyone that doesn't sort of know the process, solicitors have to go through and put together all the settlement figures so that the banks can draw checks so that they can sort of pay the money, I guess, to the vendor or to the bank, so that they can then take ownership, I guess, of the property and you can move your debt to another bank. So during that process, a mistake was made by one of the solicitors, so not mine, but one of the banks. So we didn't actually know this at the time, but they had said that there was a certain payout figure and it was actually less than what it was meant to be. So probably about a week after settlement, like the solicitor had said it had settled fine, both banks had said it had settled, my broker had said everything had settled, all of that was fine. But about a week later, I got a call from a solicitor saying, you owe us a whole heap of money. And I was sort of like, what? what do you mean?
It was only after a lot of unraveling, stress and time that the issue was sorted out. However, Brendan claims the experience has toughened her out and has taught her how to deal with stressful situations.
I was calling everyone trying to figure out what had happened, and all of them were saying, no, it's completely settled fine. No, we have no idea who this person is, so just ignore it. Until I got a letter in the mail saying that a caveat had been put over the, one of my properties. And I was like, I didn't even know what a caveat was at that point. So anyway, this caveat was put on the property, and then the new bank obviously couldn't register the mortgage because there was a caveat on it. So then they're calling and saying, well, you need to either pay out the whole mortgage within 7 days or we're basically, you know, going to have a problem. So then, you know, I had to speak to different lawyers and things like that. And it turned out that an error was made by the bank's legal team that they were trying to sort of solve. Anyway, it got solved and the caveat got removed. But at that point, I just thought, oh, my gosh, like what's happened here? And it was so much money that it was just kind of incomprehensible to have to come up with it in 7 days and then sort of stressing about what's going to happen and, you know, thinking that you're going to lose all your property portfolios. In the meantime, all my bank accounts had been frozen by the lawyer of the bank. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, it was such a stressful time. And then thinking like, oh, my gosh, am I going to default on my first mortgage payment with this new bank? That's not going to be good. But it ended up working out and they actually paid my first month of mortgage as well. So that was good.
Yeah, I was going to say they should have compensated you for that.
Yeah.
Wow, that's stressful.
So I guess the lesson I learned from that is that anything else that was just a small mistake or even a bigger mistake that I may make in the future is probably not going to seem as significant as that first mistake. So it's kind of like you build up a tolerance to different levels of stress and you get a deeper understanding of how property works and what happens when things go wrong and how to actually solve those problems. So it ended up working out really well on various different levels.
Brennan's aha moment in a property investment journey came when she learned about porting securities.
The aha moment for me was actually when I went into broking and I started to learn all the different banking policies of the different various banks and how that actually relates to building your portfolio and how best to structure things and how to increase serviceability and all of those sorts of things. But I guess the best thing that I learned was actually about what they call porting securities. So porting securities is basically when the bank lends you money, they take security over the property, right? So then basically porting the security is just transferring the debt against that property to another property that has the available equity to be able to support the transfer of debt, if that makes sense.
Sort of.
So I guess it's a bit complicated.
Maybe give us an example. I'm trying to get my head around this as well.
Yeah, sure. So when I learnt about porting securities, I sort of thought, well, does that mean that I can buy and sell at the exact same time and just transfer the debt from one property to the other and not have to apply for a new loan, not have to release equity because I can just take my profit and not have to prove my income again? And the banks were like, yeah, that's exactly what porting security is. So I was like, wow, this makes the whole process so much simpler because if I don't need to increase debt, I can just buy and sell at the exact same time, transfer the debt and take my profit. Because there was one thing that one sort of meme that came up on Facebook, which I thought was brilliant. And it said, like, shout out to ATMs for making me buy my own money. And after a while, I sort of thought, well, effectively releasing equity is just buying my own money back from the bank. So if I can port security and take the profit or use that to put it into another property and just keep compounding buying and selling and collecting profit, then that makes the whole process a lot simpler.
While the process is fairly complicated, it has greatly improved the effectiveness and efficiency of Brennan's investment strategy.
So it's a lot of people. So there's a lot of cost involved, I guess, in buying and selling. But if you're in a rising market and you're holding the property for long enough, then you can buy and sell and it makes it quite lucrative. The other thing is, which I guess added to my aha moment, was if I release the cash or if I sort of take my profit, then I can start using that profit to buy internationally. And I can then start growing my portfolio around the world and look at different rising markets. So that's sort of the big aha moment that I had. So it can be very complicated. It can be incredibly stressful because you've got to buy and sell at the exact same time because effectively the cash you get for one purchase no longer pays out the debt. They transfer the debt and that cash is used to buy the other property. So you've got to time it very, very well unless you've got available equity over time where you have, say, one unencumbered property that you hold the debt on and then all the new purchases that you make are just done with straight cash. So it's quite a good way to be able to reduce your LVR and increase your equity position and your wealth a lot faster. But there, it is a lot of stress and it is a lot of work.
Hoarding securities has opened up many opportunities for Brennan, as not only has it reduced her loan-to-value ratios, it has also increased her wealth position.
So if I didn't know about that process, then I would never have sold a property, because my first sort of investment strategy, I guess, was to buy and hold and just pay down the debt over time. But then when I learned that you could do that, then it sort of opened me up to, well, I've held some of my properties for enough time that I can renovate them, I could sell them and make a profit, or I could renovate them and make even more of a profit. So that was sort of, I guess, that sort of helped me to reduce my loan to value ratios and my debt levels, increase my assets, and increase my wealth position. And then also be able to have the funds and the resources to be able to offer a free resource. So be able to invest in my own business and give that education to others for free. So it's given me so much.
So inspired by Stephanie Brennan's story, we'll keep the conversation going in a future episode where she shares what drove her to discard her fear and invest in property.
There's another great analogy, which is let your faith be bigger than your fear. And I think for me, the drive to actually want to invest just became greater than the fear of actually investing.
Her unique property investment strategy.
Well, I don't actually know too many people that use this strategy.
The mindset which she believes has been most contributing to her success.
I think the personal habit for me is to really just believe that you can achieve whatever it is that you want to achieve.
And that's next time in a future episode of Property Invest Story. Also, are you looking at buying property in 2018? Would you like expert tips and advice on the best ways you can purchase property? Whether you're a new or experienced investor, learn from the experts by downloading the Property Investment Buying Handbook. It contains the best tips and advice from 37 of Australia's leading property experts. Simply visit propertyinveststory.com and subscribe to get your copy right now. Thanks for listening.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.